Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron, and in the studio I've got Kai Tafiti and Aaron Kiriopa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Ezra.
Morning, guys. So we've brought Kai Tafiti in because I'm really excited to have you here because talk about the Waka Ama you've been doing and the success just a few weeks ago in Samoa. But Aaron, we also want to talk to you about an art award that you got recently. We'll talk about that in a few minutes maybe.
No worries.
Someone's making noise out there, aren't they? It's coming through over the mics. Anyway. So Kai Tafiti, you're just back from the IVF World Champs in Samoa. Well, just back, it's probably a few weeks ago now, is it?
Yeah, a few weeks, 4 weeks.
4 weeks ago. And you guys got the silver medal there for the J19?
Yeah.
So you're part of the New Zealand, we call it the New Zealand Under-19 team, is that?
Yep. Yeah. The New Zealand Under-19.
And were you guys happy with that result?
Yeah. Oh, we would have liked the win, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, nah. We were very happy. Yeah.
What were your expectations when you went there?
Oh, it was going to be hard.
But yeah.
Tahiti, they're the challengers. Oh, we're challenging them.
Yeah.
Because the long distance is their specialty.
So they're the favourites.
Yes.
And how long was the long distance?
24 kilometres.
24 kilometres. So how long, for the people who don't know anything about Waka Ama, like me,
yeah.
How long does it take to paddle 24 kilometres?
Oh, what about for an average guy? An average guy like myself.
No, you guys.
Probably 3 hours.
You young.
Oh, yeah, it's about 3 hours.
But for you?
For
the elite squad?
For the elite squad, it's about like 2 hours and 2 hours 10.
So it's like a marathon kind of.
Yeah.
It pretty much is a marathon, isn't it? Just not with the legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mentioned the legs because I'm just curious, like the physicality of it. I mean, I say you don't use the legs, but you've got to hold your balance and everything. So
it's all in the legs,
is it?
Yeah. You get the power from your legs.
How do you transfer the power from the legs to the pedal?
Well, we do a lot of squats and that's just the game. Oh,
there's like points of contact inside the hull of the canoe.
Yeah.
So the left foot is one point. You press the knee across, and then the right foot.
Yeah.
And then that's where your leverage from your lower part comes up.
Yeah.
Boxers do the similar thing.
Mm. Yeah, and then your core's got to be strong to transfer all that. So do you guys do you work out as well to build strength?
Every 2 weeks or near the end, it was 1 week we were doing like gym sessions.
Yeah.
In the actual gym, yeah. But at home it's just like, I don't know, groundwork.
Hey. Yeah. So there's like he was placed on a pretty strict training regime just as a guideline, and that elite program was designed over 3 months. It was for a 3 month period, maybe 4 months perhaps. Yeah, and his coaches have designed like it's so complex, but basically. It's designed so when they get to Tahiti at the end of the 3 months, they're in their peak form.
Right.
Yeah.
So you guys are ripped, basically. You probably don't go around describing yourself like that, but I imagine that's the end result.
Yeah. So there's lots of technique involved from his coaches try to impart on this particular crew that they all had to buy into, and that's a whole different pathway for them.
So let's talk about the training that you do. Like the waka is on the car right now. I can see it outside the window. Yeah. So you're about to go?
Yes, we're about to go.
And what's going to happen once you leave here? Like how long will you be out there?
Oh, for an hour and a half.
Hour and a half, yeah.
I've just zoned. We call them zones.
Yeah.
So it would be zone one, two, three.
What do you do in zone one?
That's quite easy. Like it's just not much effort today.
Yeah?
Yeah. Zone five is like... You're dying.
You lose breath.
You can't breathe.
You're going so hard that you can't talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got zone two, three, four. That's just,
And do they design it because you guys are young and your bodies are still developing? Are they taking that into account with the design of the program as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because you're younger, you can bounce back quicker.
Okay.
You can do more zone five sessions in a week.
They're not worried about breaking you at all?
No. With Waka Ama, it's quite you don't get not too worried about getting that.
Yeah. Okay,
they build.
Yeah,
they don't just start on zone five type training.
No, that would sound bad.
Yeah, they build up to that, and then they build it back down.
Yeah. I'm used to the soccer players, as you guys know, so and they're always falling apart and breaking things,
yeah.
twisting ankles and
yep.
tendons and what have you. So,
fatigue was experience is expected. Fatigue mid to end of the train, the whole program.
Yeah.
Mm. So if they fall flat, like so much so that you know mentally drained, physically yeah. drained, that's when they start building back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the easy way.
So as you get close to the actual event, the World Champs, you kind of dial back a little bit.
Yeah.
So you're fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you feel like that? Could you feel that coming on?
We had like about a whole week, just like real cruisy before we flew over, and
yeah,
yeah. That's when we felt real good, because after like all the months of training, it all kind of built up all the soreness.
Yeah.
So we got a week off and we came back and, man, it felt so good. The whole team felt real good.
Do you ever feel, because it sounds like pretty hardcore training, do you sometimes feel like maybe this was the wrong choice?
Yeah. Never. I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think every athlete in the elite arena always has those thoughts, but yeah. there's a decision that's going to be made 4 months previous that this is what you're going to undertake, so
yeah,
the plans are set out. Yeah, so.
And what about when you got to Samoa? Because it's a lot warmer there, especially because it's winter here in New Zealand right now. I know what it's like. You get off the plane and walk into. It's like walking into a wall of humidity.
Yeah.
Did you have time to like adjust?
Oh, we had about like three, four days before the race.
It's not a lot.
Yeah. Oh, we were doing saunas. We were doing saunas before the here in New Zealand. But
yeah.
But you jump straight off the plane, set up your accommodation, and then the next morning, what were you doing?
Sweating.
Oh, like like didn't you guys go for that morning jog?
Oh, yeah. We went for a jog, and it was way harder than usual. Like,
yeah.
We're just going the same pace as back home, and we're, hitting zone 5.
So coach was trying to speed up the acclimatation.
Acclimatize
the boys as quick as possible.
Yeah, I've been there. I was talking to you guys off the air, like I lived there when I was a kid, and it felt like it took a month to fully get used to it. So that's why when you said like 3 or 4 days, I was like, oh, that's tough. But so the coach had plans for you.
Yeah. The back end of the New Zealand training, everybody was in the hot boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that sweating stuff?
Sauna.
Yeah.
Everybody just living in the sauna.
Yeah.
Getting used to it. Yeah, because it does drain you away. But did you feel... Well, you came second. You got the silver, so you must have been ready when the race came round.
We were ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were real prepared.
How close were you to getting the gold?
Oh, it was quite
6 minutes.
Yeah,
six minutes. So that's like about 5 k's away.
Okay.
That's how good the Tahitians are.
Why are they so good? Is it just in your age group in the men's, or is it throughout?
Oh, they're just so strong. I know.
They live it.
Yeah, they live it.
They breathe it. They are the All Blacks of Wakama.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Who came third?
Hawaii.
Yeah. Is it just all Polynesian?
Oh, it was
countries. It was a world.
Yeah, world.
Worldwide.
England, Britain.
Because you were in England a year ago, was it?
Yeah, we were in London.
In London.
Yeah.
That would have been not so hot and humid.
Oh, that was hot. Was
it summertime?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All
heat waves.
Yeah, they get the heat waves from Europe, something we don't have to deal with here.
Yeah, so London was a sprint, world sprints.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So and
Samoa was a long distance sprint. Mm. They switch over each year.
So how short is a short sprint?
Like 250 metres to 500.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's completely different.
Yeah, it's all sprinting like. Yeah.
Is it getting to the point yet where people are specialising in either long distance or sprinting like they do for running?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've noticed, we're quite new to the whole competitive scene, but we've noticed the body types are different.
Yeah.
Some long distance guys, there's this guy called Manitia Milon, he's a long distance Tahitian.
Yeah.
But he comes to sprints and he dominates.
Yeah, he's the current New Zealand national champ.
So how's he built?
He's quite lean.
Quite lean, okay, yeah. No extra fat on him, but if you're going a long distance, you need, I guess your body starts eating into your fat reserves, does it? Is that how tough it is?
Yeah.
Yep.
A long distance, yeah.
Wow. Okay. I remember talking to someone. There used to be, maybe, oh, this is quite a while ago, there was someone in New Zealand, in Raglan, who then went to Fraser High School and they were in a New Zealand rowing team or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I talked to her mum and she said that sometimes they would throw up when they were practicing because they went so hard out. Has it ever happened to you?
Oh, sometimes when I'm running I feel like it, but I haven't spewed yet.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's the gym work part of the programs that really tests your spew factor, eh?
Oh, yeah.
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 So, hey, tell us how you get selected for the New Zealand J19. And is there 6 of you guys?
Seven.
Seven.
So spear paddler.
Oh, spear paddler.
Yeah, one spear paddler.
Where do you put them? On the shore.
On the shore.
No, okay. Yeah. Back up. Yeah, that could be useful.
But very, very important, especially going overseas, because, like, for all the food and stuff, we had to be careful. Like, we'd get sick real quick.
Oh, yeah, that happened to me in Samoa. Yeah. No, in Rarotonga.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, some ice cream made me really... Yeah.
Oh, the water, all the taps, couldn't drink.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to look after yourself, especially because you're doing this event.
You're like standing in the shower. You don't want to get any water in your mouth.
Yeah. So, but how do you get selected for the team?
So there's a trial process.
Yeah.
And you got to... you go get from the club.
So... This one, he went for the elite New Zealand team.
Yeah.
So that's selected from, every region has to present their best paddler for that division.
Yeah.
And the coach and their staff, personally select. They go through trials.
Yeah.
We were doing 2 trials every fortnight.
Mm.
We've been travelling to Wellington and Porirua, Auckland. Yeah.
Taupo.
Yeah, and Lake Taupo.
And so when you do that, you're paddling with people you don't really know?
Know of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know of them, yeah. But you haven't. Like, does it take a while to get, like, to learn to paddle and sink?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what the coach is looking for. At the elite level, these guys are already quite good.
Yep, yep.
And the coaches are looking for that gel factor amongst... You don't have to be the best paddler in the world to get every position in New Zealand or national team. What he's looking for is that talent and
bendable,
coachability.
Of course, that's always important.
Because it's a long way to go when you're going to say London, Samoa, or Hawaii next year. You know.
So what happens if you're paddling and someone loses the plot and gets out of sync? Like, how bad is that?
Oh, you'll definitely get called up on it. Especially in the trial process.
Yeah.
Because, you got to stay sharp. Yeah.
How much does it screw up, though, the race?
Not too much, like...
At that level, it's a different kind of fix-up. Yeah. They're really quick.
Yeah.
They're that good.
So they get out of sync, they get straight back in.
Yeah, there's a special feeling when you're all locked in.
Yeah.
And everyone's got their blade in the water, there's a special feeling that...
Okay.
You can't get if some one person's out. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think people get that from doing music and doing stuff. Yeah.
All six know what the best feeling feels like already.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all six will know how to get the best out of each other.
Yeah.
And if one little slip up comes up, then there's usually a captain, usually the steerer or the number three, sort of pulls it in and marks it out in a positive way. Yeah.
And is it different depending where you are on the waka? Like, because you're all in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have kind of different responsibilities? Yeah, how does that all work? Because I don't have a clue about that.
Oh, so seat one, he's the stroke. He sets the pace of the stroke. And seat two is just copying. He's trying to mimic that seat one.
Yeah.
Three and four there, and five, they're also, like, they're all power. So they're usually the strongest guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and seat six is the steerer. He makes sure the canoe goes where it needs to go.
Right, so sometimes he's not paddling.
Yeah, so he's steering.
He's got the oar in the water and...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Ideally, the most favoured steerers are the ones who don't drop it down, but actually contribute to forward momentum.
Yeah, so the steerer can paddle too, and that's when, you get that special feeling. Everyone's in the water.
Yeah, yeah.
That's your superstar steerer.
Yeah. Right, okay. And what position are you?
Oh, seat two.
Seat two, okay. Do you aspire to be anywhere else? Do you want to be in a...
Well, I want to be the steerer.
You want to be the steerer? Yeah. Is that the best one, is it?
Oh, I really like it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How do you get that?
Oh, you just... Lots of V1 rudderless training.
Yeah.
So it's like...
But you have to convince the coach.
Yeah, you got to impress him.
Okay. And now I want to talk about... I know that you... this year would have been your last year at Raglan Area School, I think, would it?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But you chose not to go to school this year and you're doing school at home?
Yeah, I went and chose to do homeschool this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to get really into this elite trial process and get in the team.
Yeah.
And then when I got in the team, I fully committed, like, everything and, like, left a bit of even the homeschool behind.
Yeah. Okay. So it gives you a lot of flexibility, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah. And so, and I guess it's, well, I know from my own experience with kids at home that you don't need to do so much work. It doesn't take 6 hours at home to achieve the same thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So that was that a hard decision to make?
We kind of made it.
As a family?
A family decision, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just marking out his goals that he wanted to achieve, how could we do it, and it fit better in a home learning environment as opposed to, as awesome as our Raglan area is, there's still quite boxes there that, there's phone calls we get that, we just can't get Kai to these spaces where he needs to be his best self.
Yeah.
So, but with the home learning, you know, we can mold around that and get Kai into these spaces, like, you know, training in Wellington for 4 days is not an issue.
Yep, right, you can just go.
Yeah, we don't need to call anybody or...
Yeah, yep. Yeah, apologise to the school.
Yeah. send the note in.
It's tough trying to do the study, the subjects, and get the grades you want if you're away often.
Yeah. So. There's many temptations at school.
Like the tuck shop, you mean? Are you on a strict diet, like, all the time?
Yeah. Oh, the coach says just keep it real food.
Yep. Whole foods, that sort of thing.
No drugs, no alcohol.
Well, take that as a given, really.
No fizzy drinks.
Yeah, that sugar, man. Sugar's bad for you.
Yeah, especially fizzy drinks. He was on that, the coach here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were mainly protein, lots of protein.
Yeah.
More chicken, pasta.
Mm. All that stuff.
Rice.
So when did you, how old you were you when you decided you wanted to take it this seriously?
16?
Yeah. Yeah?
Yeah.
Lockdown.
Aye. Yeah, in lockdown.
Interesting. So many people made life decisions during lockdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many people.
Because there's one thing that we could, there was lots of upheaval during that time, during lockdown. We didn't know if we were in level 3, 2, 4.
Yeah.
Or red light. The traffic system straight after. Yeah. So there was lots of...
And what you could do, like if you could practice or not.
Yeah, but there was one thing that we could commit to and we know we could get done was training, paddling canoe a certain distance at a certain rate. Or that's quite... we could keep that consistency up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that became his life and he was happy to do it, eh? Because we couldn't do anything else, really.
Yeah. And then 1 year after lockdown, I jumped in on my first elite trial.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was for London.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you got in.
Oh.
Did you?
You got I actually got cut from the New Zealand team.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah. the last trial.
Yeah, you were 16.
Yeah.
Ah, so what, but you went to London?
Yes.
With the sprints... As opposed to the long distance, is purely elite selections type thing.
Yeah.
And but sprints, you can go into the elite team and you can qualify a club to go. So Kai got selected at the trials by the world champions Hirota Club in Gisborne.
Yeah.
If he would like to paddle for them in their
cool
in their under 16 team. gold medaled in London.
That's how I got in there.
That's pretty cool.
But we had to drive down.
So wait, you went for that? You weren't selected for the New Zealand team, but you went for that team and you beat the New Zealand team.
Oh no, there was two.
Oh, different competitions.
Yeah. So there's a club team and then there's a New Zealand team.
Right.
And so they have the elite world tournament.
Yeah.
And straight after, 2 days later, straight after, they have the World Club Championships, which, Kai represented.
And how old are you now? Have you got another year in the J19?
Yes, I've 2 more years. I'm 17.
2 more years.
Yeah, I'm 17 now.
That's pretty good. If you're 2 years younger and you're in that that squad, that's a good sign.
I've got one more shot at the long distance. So it's every 2 years.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yep.
Yeah. That'll be Brazil.
In Brazil.
Wow, that'll probably be warm over there as well.
Yeah.
No doubt. That'll be an experience going to Brazil. Yeah, that'll be wicked.
Oh, go see Neymar.
Think he'll be there?
I don't know.
He's probably in Europe.
Who's recently signed up?
Saudi Arabia.
Is that who he's playing for?
Yeah, I think he's Saudi.
Yeah, it'll be somewhere fancy, I imagine, with the amount of money he gets. Let's talk about money. Is there a professional career available in Wakaama at this stage? How far is the sport in that way?
No.
Not really?
No.
Not at all. Okay.
There are paid admin.
Yep.
It's early days. But part of the reasoning behind the elite process that introduced like 3 years ago was to create that environment where we could possibly qualify to be a legitimate sport at the Olympics.
Yep.
Yeah.
That would be the big change, wouldn't it? That brings it to people's attention. There's no better way to do it.
Come Brazil, the next Olympics will be 2028.
Will it?
But 2024 is next year.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm out of touch with what years that is. There's like all these World Cups going on at the moment. I can barely keep up.
I think the Olympics is next year in France.
Right, okay.
And then 4 years after that, I'm not sure where it is, but...
Is that what they're aiming for?
Well, that's a watch that space to see if outrigging canoe Wakaama gets selected to be a sport at the Olympics. Mm. I know the Paralympians have the Wakaama in trials right now.
Okay, that's cool. So they'll trial something in one of the not quite so important Olympics before they put it in the big one.
Yeah, I think they're testing it with the Paralympians for next year in France.
That would be cool. That would provide a little bit of something different in the Olympics, unlike synchronized swimming and weird things like that.
There's lots of similar sports already on the go there. But I think
kayaking
we have to
and
C1 on your knee.
Kneeboarding.
Yeah.
That's unusual. Now I had another question for you. A couple more questions. When did you know you were going to be this good at it?
Oh, I kind of just kept on training and then showed up. And then I don't know, like, what do you think?
When did you know, Aaron? When did you and Jazz know?
I'm biased.
You're from day one.
Your parents are biased.
Don't ask a parent.
I think not more so his speed, or I don't recognise. We've both seen these boys play their football, and we know the athleticism there. But
yeah,
I think just completing your first 30-kilometre race, that probably would have. It's more of a look in their eye.
If
they're crazy enough to do that, then you know they could be up to improving themselves to, you know, double down and master a 500 sprint, right? Or a 250 sprint. There's nothing in comparison to 30-kilometer race, of which he got second in his division. Two years ago.
And so, and you've got a pretty famous uncle in the surfing area.
Yes,
is he a handy guy to talk to about preparing for high level stuff? The stress of it.
Absolutely, yes. He's very good. Like my first sprinting race, he was on the phone. He's helping me out.
giving us tips on what to do.
Yeah.
He helped me a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. And is your sister Mika into the Wakaama, or is she not so much?
Oh, she's really good, eh? She's really, really good.
She's really good. I know, it's like...
She loves football.
It's different. It's like painful. The sport is painful, but...
Well, this is a thing that I figure it must be. Yeah. You must have to really... It's not like you like the pain, but...
No.
But what do you like about... What is the thing that gets you down there?
I know. The people, it's like...
Yeah, the community has a large part to play.
When everyone's working like real hard, it's just real good.
Mm. Yeah, it's like that working together thing you talk about when you're all in sync. And
yeah.
Oh, like in singles. Like
yeah.
It's individuals.
Of course.
Yeah. Everyone in individuals is like, everyone's so awesome. Yeah.
It's really, really competitive. And we really want to be better ourselves, every time we go to the next race.
Yeah.
And so are all the other competitors. And it's not so much a aggressive community. It's just everybody's pushing together.
Yeah.
For the one main goal, which Wakaama is the gold medal at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And all these kids, like, they pull up anywhere in New Zealand and, you guys are friends, they're friends.
Yeah.
Lifelong friends are made there on that water.
Yeah.
We don't see each other much, like us New Zealand team, we're all split up.
All around the country.
All around the country, but whenever we come together at a race, like, man, we're all brothers.
Yeah, and sisters.
That's
awesome. how did the other New Zealand teams do at the in Samoa?
Oh, really good.
Yeah? Yeah. Any more medals, or were you guys the top performers?
Got some gold medals. The master men.
Yeah,
that's 40 plus. And they got a gold.
Right, that's our age.
No, we're up, we're more senior. Senior master men, 50 plus.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I don't think they do well.
No.
Yeah. So it was the 40 pluses did really well. They got gold medal. So they're world champions. And they paddle out of Wakamanu in Auckland.
Yeah.
And
Tarawera.
Yeah. They always, we didn't go over to Samoa, but they all look after Kai over there, keep an eye on him.
Yeah, like everyone in the community, when we go to these New Zealand things, that we all know each other, just know of. And when we see, it's like we all look after. It's like.
Mm. And who's been the biggest help for you on this journey?
Probably me, eh?
You've got to let him give the answer.
This guy's been driving me around like ever since day one. So
definitely.
No, who else?
But there's also
cut me out.
Mike Rogerson. He's like my coach. From my club, and he's the one who kind of puts a good word into the elite process. Yeah, he knows all the guys there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So telling them there's this young guy in Raglan.
Yeah.
You got to look out for him.
He's not old enough yet, but do you think you'll give him a go? That's the kind of thing inside he has.
Yeah.
So they give him a trial.
He's been a big help.
So so what happens next? You've had the worlds, the world champs. When are you racing next?
Oh, sprints. It's one month away.
New Zealand. Oh yeah. So we've got the regional sprints coming up.
Yeah.
At Lake Karapiro.
Yeah.
To qualify to go to the national event. In January.
So that sprints as a team or as an individual?
Both.
So you're going for both?
Yeah.
Okay. And should be, I expect you to clean up at the regionals?
I don't want to be that guy, but... No, I'm not going to be that guy.
Hey, you should have expectations. You should do well at the regionals, though, surely.
I'm training here.
Yeah.
They take the top six in his division to the nationals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go over and do my best.
I'm sure you will, man. You're obviously working really hard, and it's really awesome to see. I know people love to see the young ones in our community coming up and doing things. So it gives all us old ones a lot of pleasure to see it happening. And it's not why you do it. It's not for us, but we're really glad to see you doing it.
Oh,
yeah. And Aaron, you just got an art award. We've actually interviewed you a few years ago, didn't I? I just want to mention this now that we've talked to Kai. But this just appeared yesterday that you've got an Art and Innovation Award. Where were you displaying some art? Up in Auckland.
So I get invited for the past 3 years. I've been invited to attend Art in the Park at Eden Park.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. This is my third year, and yeah, I was presented with an award from Lighthouse Partners. Selected me out of a group of 100 artists.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
As their choice award guy.
So, you're their guy now.
Yeah, I was stoked as. It's been 20 plus years and doing what I do.
Yeah.
And this is the first, you know, recognition this level.
Yeah. But invited to Art in the Park, though, that must be recognition in itself, is it?
Yeah. It is. It is.
Yeah.
It's huge.
That's cool.
But just, you know, that cream on top of that is, like, pretty awesome.
Yeah.
To get acknowledged there.
Yeah. And you get a... what did you get? Is that a bottle of wine?
Yeah.
I'm looking at a photo, folks.
Got a wine and lots of cuddles.
Lots, yeah.
Explain it. It does help because I had to man, myself and Kai, man the station for a week.
Right, where your exhibit was. So you could talk to people who were interested in.
So one of the awesome things about this exhibition, all the artists are encouraged to man and meet the public.
So, do you like that?
Initially...
You should be right, man. You're pretty sociable. I know some artists like to stay in their room and not talk to anyone.
That's the ideal world for all creatives, you know. Just to hide away and be world famous in your own universe.
Yeah.
But it is quite rewarding, you know, if you push past that thing. It's quite rewarding to actually talk to people.
Yeah.
In my case, it was educating people about, reusing discarded material or landfill. That was one of the bigger things for me, the sustainability of everything, which came into play with part of this award as well. With this company, they really encourage sustainability through their practice.
So that's what caught their eye. Part of what caught their eye. Yeah, cool. All right.
Finding new ways to repurpose things.
Mm. All right, folks, time for us to wrap up. I've actually gone way past the end of the show, but I've just enjoyed chatting to you guys and talking to you, Kai, about how things are going. So wish you all the best for the future, both of you.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming in. I'm really glad you decided you want to come in and have a chat. We'll finish the show now and find out what that noise is going on outside. That's probably all distracting us now.
Someone's hungry.
Someone's hungry for something. Anyway, thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks, Aaron.